So let's begin. Now, Seth, you missed our coaching sessions on CPI. What have you heard about them? Anything at all?
So I actually listened to the one on May 9th, I think was the date. And yeah, that one was basically inviting us to take the test and how it's a really expensive test that not many people get the opportunity to take. But other than that, I don't know much more about it.
Okay, so let me make sure I give you that information so you can go in. That survey is still up. You can go in and do it. You'll get your scores, your results, both you and Sarah. And then you can also go back and watch last Tuesday night's coaching session where we talk about the Cognitive Preferences Index. So the survey is found at cpi-survey.griffinhillconsulting.com. And then the password is 6D. So you can go take that survey. We did this with Debbie and Mike on Friday night up in Heber where they attended, had a delightful time, and it was very fun and revealing. So I think you and Sarah are going to want to take it as well and see how you score. But there's where you get it, cpi-survey.griffinhillconsulting.com and then 6D. Now, we're going to use that as our start place. John and Cammie, let's have you unmute. Share with us one or two things that you learned in successive sessions, because you got this Tuesday night and then again on Friday night. So share with us one or two things that you learned from Cognitive Preferences Index.
Yes, we're unmuted. Well, we learned what our strengths are and what our preference, I should say, what our preferences are. And we found out that we're kind of opposite, Cammie and I, and so it makes it challenging and exciting to work together. I found out that I'm more of a emotional, I'm a perfectionist, and she's a revolutionary.
So there's John. He has dominances in this lower left quadrant, which is order, and the lower right quadrant, which is emotion. And that combination makes him a perfectionist. And Cammie, wow, she's just off the charts here as a revolutionary. And those two don't necessarily, you know, there's not a lot of overlap between those two. Now, Cammie obviously had a strong emotion, so they communicate well here. But it gives you a great idea about how they complement one another. Well, John, I love the other thing that you pointed out. This is Cognitive Preferences Index. So this speaks to our preferences, not our skill or our knowledge. So this being the month of focusing on the second dimension, intellect, lifelong learning, and scholarly fitness, we're going to talk about, okay, so what is that? If that's my preference, how do I turn this into an element of skill or an element of great knowledge? So leveraging our own preferences, we can turn this into an element of skill if we'll follow this just remarkable model provided to us by Dr. Bloom. Dr. Bloom provided what he calls Bloom's taxonomy. Now, John, can you see, you're unmuted, so that's good. Can you see the screen okay, and can you see me okay?
Yes.
Okay, good. If anybody's got a problem with that, let me know. We're going to turn to this PowerPoint presentation and talk about stimulate deep learning and experience through the Bloom's taxonomy. So first of all, let's just introduce you to this taxonomy. Dr. Bloom suggested that we can talk about knowledge, gathering knowledge, in terms of these six different dimensions: knowledge, comprehension, application, analysis, synthesis, and evaluation. Now, here's the problem. In most of our academic experiences, even all the way through sometimes our post-high school and graduate studies, tests or professors test for just knowledge, the memorization of facts. And that's really inadequate to lifelong learning and scholarly fitness. So what we're talking about tonight is, how do we apply these principles that Bloom teaches us to our own lives to facilitate lifelong learning in areas that we have preference or a desire or an interest? Well, let's just look at each of these areas as Bloom talks about knowledge. This is what Bloom means: recall and recognition of facts and information. So how well do we memorize and recall facts and information? So a teacher on an exam, in order to stimulate recall of facts or test our memory, might use words like this: define, state, measure, name, write, select, or list. Those all have to do with a knowledge level. Well, that's great, but we want to get to critical thinking and beyond. We want to get beyond knowledge to comprehension. So let's look at that list. So when we get to comprehension, this means that we process fully and understand fully what that information means. We can identify, illustrate, classify, formulate, indicate, represent, and explain. If we go further to analysis, using the information in new and concrete solutions is an important part of application. Demonstrate, find, use, perform, show, assess, and construct. Okay, now we get to analysis. So in analysis, it's being able to break down things into their component parts and be able to use it in different ways. Conclude, analyze, separate, compare, contrast, justify, differentiate. Those are all words. Now you're getting to a level of understanding that's much more important. Now you get to synthesis. This means we can combine those parts. We just did analysis where we broke it into its component parts. Synthesis is, can I take parts from different ideas and put them together to synthesize a new solution? Combine, summarize, discuss, organize, relate, derive, and generalize. Or we finally get to evaluation. So now we're using our skills of judgment against the specified criteria. Judge, evaluate, support, determine, defend, attack, criticize. Now, let me give you a brief example of each. If we knew, for example, that Columbus, in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Okay, so that's good fact, that's good knowledge. Well, then we could get to comprehension. We could ask ourselves, I don't even know if I can go back to that, let's see. Okay, so we could ask ourselves, okay, identify the motivations that led Columbus to want to journey and explore. Identify or illustrate the kind of background that he had that gave him exposure to the sea. classify Columbus in terms of other explorers of his day. So now we can start to classify, but that leads us to a next one, application. Also in classify, we could, or in comprehension, we could be talking about things like identify the cultural backgrounds that caused Columbus to go to the Spanish monarchy in order to fund his journey. What was it about the Spanish monarchy that had interest in funding exploration? Now we can apply, demonstrate how the exploration of the New World changed the economy. What Columbus had proposed was that we would change the economy in great ways. Demonstrate what those changes in the economy were. Now we can get to analysis. Let's break this down into its component parts. Economics, exploration, geography, leadership. What kind of a leader was Columbus? How did he stimulate and motivate people to get organized around a common cause and to be able to accomplish it? So now we can start to even think about synthesis as we say, okay, how would you use the leadership principles exhibited by Columbus in order to start a new economic venture, for example? And then you could go to evaluate the results that Columbus obtained by the standard of what he promised to the Spanish monarchy. Well, all of those demonstrate the way that we could think about creating good knowledge. Now, let me give you an additional illustration of this. As we think about our activity next Thursday, two nights from now, what we're doing is we're doing an activity, a joint six-dimension activity that is an intellectual exploration. As we think about the intellect dimension, we can think about this in terms of reading and writing, or numeracy, STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. Or we could think about it in terms of the humanities, the arts, and creativity. Well, we're choosing a creativity and arts activity. We're going to the Brigham Young Museum of Art, and you should have all received an email about how to get there. Now, Jonna, unfortunately, that's a little far for you, so we're inviting you to join us in an activity wherever you would like to go, to some kind of cultural activity. But let's apply Bloom's taxonomy, learning, turning this into not just a, we're going to go look at art. Rather than go look at art, let's think about this in terms of stimulating our intellect, in terms of lifelong learning, and hence scholarly fitness. Well, here's a perfect example. We might, as I looked at the activities or the exhibits at the Brigham Young University Museum of Art, one of the exhibits is entitled Playground. That exhibit is a photo composition done by the artist that was inspired by memories of his youth and the playgrounds where he played. Well, first of all, that would be a great intellectual exercise. If you live near the perhaps elementary school or a playground where you played, you could just go walk the playground. Maybe if you've got children that are living at home still, you could take them with you. And you could just walk the playground and talk about experiences. That's a learning exercise. It's also a social exercise. You might choose to write a poem about a playground or about an experience you had on the playground. You might simply write a journal entry about it. I chose for tonight's illustration to do a reflection activity. So I used Playground, and then by way of reflection, I started that. So I think about these in terms of thought experiments. I used Playground as the central theme. And then I just generated additional circles or additional, we call this the expansion of a thought from one to the next. We think about in terms of expanding from playground to, let's just go here. These are the ones that immediately came to my, well, immediately, with a little bit of reflection and thought, these are ideas that came to my mind. We call this spreading activation. What thoughts, when I say playground, in fact, we could just do this. I could say playground and ask you what thought first comes to your mind. Well, the first thought that came to my mind was Mrs. Beckstrand and hopscotch, because my fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Beckstrand, entered our entire fourth grade class into a hopscotch tournament. I didn't even know such things existed, and I've never heard of them since. But this was a statewide tournament. We had local competition and worked our way up to statewide tournament. It was a delightful memory as I reflected back on Mrs. Beckstrand. I remembered Mr. Tittle, who really liked to play marbles. I remember, let's see, do we have Mike and Debbie on? We don't. I remember playing kickball, and the first thought that came to my mind was Michael Loveridge, because he wore these great big hiking boots so that he could kick that ball, get some weight behind that leg muscle, and boot that ball as far as he possibly could. I think this was fifth grade, it might have been sixth, I had my first experience with feminist expression. I might even call it militant feminist expression, as a group of girls in my class developed what they called the KDSS Club. And KDSS meant kick, dig, scratch, slap. And these girls were very aggressive about finding boys that they could kick, or they could dig, or they could scratch, or they could slap. This was one of my early discoveries of militant feminism. I thought of the merry-go-round or snowball fights. I thought of third grade when I slept class, having first gone out to the playground at first recess. So I slept from the playground, not a very wise idea. I thought of learning on the playground about the assassination of JFK and what a sobering experience it was. Well, that's spreading activation, that when we take a thought and then we stimulate it just a little bit, where does our mind go? This is a delightful learning experience, especially if you turn that now into a writing experience. So let me share with you what I wrote as a result of that activity. They were reluctant. I had to invite, cajole, and tease them out. I tugged at them. Wraiths, more comfortable in obscure darkness than stark daylight. Eventually they relented, a trickle, and then a welcome flood. Memories of my boyhood at Sarah Park Elementary. People entwined with events. Mike Loveridge could kick the ball a mile, it seemed, in new laced-up boots. Mrs. Beckstrand coaching tournament hopscotch, the mirth of the merry-go-round, the daring do of cutting class, the stunned silence that assassinated innocence along with a president. At first, they were reluctant, these memory wraiths of mine, but we warmed to one another. Whoops, I lost my slide. Well, that was my experience with, if I go back here, with taking a thought and cultivating it beyond knowledge. I could recall a memory, but then taking that beyond just knowledge and getting to comprehension, did my years of time intervening create new comprehension and understanding of those events? It certainly did. What about analyzing them? What about turning the, or excuse me, applying them, analyzing them, synthesizing them, and evaluating them? All of that goes into that little exercise of stimulating a spreading activation activity and then turning it into a written activity. So as we talk about learning and turning what we the way we prefer to think, instead of just I prefer to use order or I prefer to use logic or I prefer to use vision or emotion, instead of just preferring, how about we learn to turn that into a strength? Or we learn to develop a greater depth of an application of knowledge, not just memory or recollection of facts, but an ability to turn that recollection of facts into comprehension and application and analysis, and be able to get from analysis to synthesis and eventually evaluation. As you think about our Thursday activity, I invite you to think about Bloom's taxonomy and turn this into a learning experience instead of just a let's go look at some art. You might study the life of an artist. You might take time to think of to just reflect on some of their works and ask yourself about what emotion does that evoke. You might actually look through a picture book of art and ask yourself, what logic goes into that? In what ways does the artist have to understand color and light, shadow and darkness? In what way does an artist have to take an orderly approach to the creation? In what way is emotion clearly evident as part of that process? What if? Well, these are all ideas that will be valuable as you think about our upcoming activity, whether you can come to Brigham Young University Museum of Art or wherever you choose to do this cultural activity. But let's begin to take our experiences and turn them beyond preferences and beyond just experiences into ways that stimulate our human cognition, to cause us to grow, to create more wrinkles on our brain, to enrich our lives and make it more meaningful. Bloom's taxonomy will give you a little bit of a roadmap to doing so as you go from knowledge to comprehension, and from comprehension to application, and from application to analysis, analysis to synthesis, and from synthesis to evaluation. Take just a moment and reflect and write. Perhaps you can think about our upcoming activity on Thursday and how you can utilize that activity to, and your preferences from CPI that we did the other day, and stimulate this into a richer learning experience. Take a minute and reflect and write. Let's see, who do I have on? Sarah, Sarah, are you done putting the kids to bed, or have I just got Seth?
She's not here with me, actually.
Okay, Seth, when you've had a chance to reflect and write, let's hear a little bit of some ideas that you had about creating a deeper lifelong learning process in your life and how Bloom's taxonomy can help. After Seth, let's hear from Sydney. And then Annie, good to have you on. I won't pick on you yet. I'll save you for just a minute. It was great to be with you over the weekend, by the way, Annie. Okay, Seth, whenever you're ready.
I missed last week's coaching session. It wasn't up when I went to find it, actually. It might be up now, but anyway, this is totally new to me. I have never heard anything like this. I mean, I've obviously known you have to learn how to apply what you learn, otherwise it doesn't mean anything. They're just random facts, but yeah, I mean, I've been trying to think this whole time of times in my life where I've been able to analyze or have or synthesize, I don't even know the word for that, and evaluate knowledge and apply it. I'll definitely have to ponder this for a while to figure out how to actually stimulate.
Yeah, I love that, Seth, because that's what it's about here. Sixth dimension is about personal growth and development. And as we learn this process of, okay, I've memorized facts, but what do those facts mean in terms of comprehension? And then just pushing ourselves to think critically. As we learn to be better critical thinkers, not only will it stimulate greater levels of intellect, greater levels of creativity, we'll be better problem solvers. Not only will we be better problem solvers, but it will help us to get greater joy out of life. So we could actually even think about this, Seth, as you think about these three children that you have brought into the world and how you can help facilitate their intellect and their development using Bloom's taxonomy. It will be just delightful. Well, good for you, Seth. Okay, Sydney.
Okay, so one thing that I really, I think this just gives life depth and meaning. And I think it's really what helps connect us to other people too, actually. So that's something that I've been thinking about as we've been talking about this, and how can I, in those relationships, even on that emotional dimension, how do you apply these kinds of things? So I think those are things I'm thinking about how to apply.
I love that you start out where you do. This gives life greater depth of meaning. It gives our lives greater purpose. And again, I used the illustration of our upcoming activity on Thursday night to go to the Brigham Young University Museum of Art. It's not about just going to look at whatever art is there, though it can be evocative and it can be instructive. Lifelong learning can be a structured, more dynamic, and richer activity. For me, this probably started with my football coach. Now, that may seem strange, but my football coach was also our biology teacher. And I remember that Al Davis, and he had these great big heavy rimmed glasses that would slide down on his nose. And so he'd start every sentence by, first of all, pushing his glasses up the bridge of his nose, clearing his throat, and then making this gesture. And so he was very fun to imitate and mimic. And so we would mimic him all the time. But this is what Al Davis told me one day. Hey, hey, Baird, you've got to organize your own education. Now, I have pondered on that thought since I was a sophomore in high school, as my football coach entered the men's room where I was the only occupant, standing at a urinal, and he, hey, Baird, you got to organize your own education. As he tried to implement or imbue into me a powerful thought and notion that would add richness to the balance of my life. It was as, Seth, a PhD student that I discovered Bloom's taxonomy and how it really can be one of the great powers that helps me to organize my own education. Okay, well, take just a moment and reflect and write. If you've already done that, wonderful. We're going to move into an opportunity meeting discussion. And as you know, I've taken to thinking about opportunity meetings in terms of the opportunity that the product provides for us. So I'd like Cammie and John to comment just a little bit about how CPI went in an opportunity meeting session, not a coaching session, where they gathered friends and neighbors and people from the community and invited them to come and learn about cognition, the human brain, the way we think, the way we can develop greater tolerance for one another, work together in better teams, develop greater leadership capacity, and become better performers. John and Cammie, why don't you share with us your experience about inviting people to that kind of an activity and the level of engagement, how people felt about it? And you can take turns here, trade off.
Okay, well, I had the opportunity to be in front of the people so I could see their faces. And we invited different people. They came for different reasons. There were people there who were struggling with making a living. There were people there trying to just learn about themselves. There were people there who just love to learn new things. But as you talked about the CPI and pulled it together with the different areas of the brain, the limbic and the cerebral and the logic and order, it was amazing because you could see them nodding their head and looking at each other and saying, how did you know that? We had a stewardess there and her CPI just fit in perfectly. And of course we had a nurse who's become a functional doctor. And it was just amazing. And afterwards, everyone said, I want to know how skill and knowledge affects this, which you just did tonight. So it was fantastic. And we had lots of requests for more of it.
Well, thank you, Cammie. John, your thoughts?
Well, pretty much the same. We had that one lady from the Chamber of Commerce that was fascinated with it. And would love to obviously invite you back up to entertain and to teach those of the chamber. We just feel this is so exciting and great for people to understand that we'd like to just extend this out to the clubs, civic clubs, whatever, in the area, and just let people realize that they have there's a madness to their preferences. there's direction in life to what they actually prefer, not realizing that. And then how you can take that and direct your life with your spouse or with others you associate with as you learn their CPI or their direction of preference. It helps you become more clear in guiding or directing or consulting with whatever people around you. That's how you connect.
Okay, I have one little thing to tell you with the playground.
Sixth grade.
My friend and I figured out there was no drinking fountain out on the playground.
Revolutionary does what in sixth grade?
So we got permission and we had bake sales and we earned the money to put a drinking fountain on our playground.
And does that just sound like Cammie? In sixth grade, she's thinking, what if? What if we earned the money? What if we had a bake sale? The revolution, when did you say you organized your first protest?
Well, actually I did too. I wrote a petition to my parents in junior high, but accidentally started a demonstration where the cops were called in high school.
Well, there's the idea. So that's exactly how cognitive preferences connect back to knowledge and skill development as we think about ways to grow and learn. So as we think about an opportunity meeting tonight, let me just share with you some opportunities that I think we can utilize to invite our friends and our family and our connections into exposure with our sixth dimension family. Well, our first one is this Thursday evening. So instead of our regular coaching session, we're going to the Brigham Young University Museum of Art. Unless you're Jonna. Now, Jonna, did we lose you? Jonna, would you unmute and tell us what your plan is for a cultural activity on Thursday night? I hope you can hear me okay, Jonna. Okay, maybe she can't.
She's up here. I think she'll be up here or is up here tonight. So hopefully she'll be able to come with us to Provo.
Oh, well, that would be delightful. Jonna, I hope you can join us at Brigham Young University Museum of Art. Now, here's some of the thought about this. These activities should not be burdensome to other social commitments or obligations or responsibilities. For example, parents, bring your children, and that means parents of all ages. John and Cammie, how old is your youngest?
Our youngest is 23, and he's out there in the Provo.
See, this is a great opportunity to connect with some of your children and say, hey, we're going to go to the Brigham Young University Museum of Art, and we're just going to look at some of the art, and we're going to talk about it and some things that we've learned. We'd love to have you come and go with us. What a delightful way to do that. Strengthening families, fulfilling multiple obligations all at the same time. You might have some friends, another couple, or a group of couples that you would like to spend some time with socially. And you might want to invite them to come with you on this activity. You might be like Cammie. Cammie is in a group with 12 other ladies, and they do, Cammie, book club kind of a thing or just social things. What do you do with these ladies?
We're revolutionaries.
They're revolutionaries.
Yeah, we just do different things, just cause
So
trouble.
if you've got a group of people that you spend time with and like to hang out, invite them to come and go with you. That is one of the great opportunities of sixth dimension. Though we segment these dimensions in terms of health, wellness, physical fitness, intellect, lifelong learning and scholarly fitness, social, emotional, and relationship fitness, industry, financial and career fitness, spiritual fitness, and achievement fitness, though we segment it in that way, they're all highly connected. And as we learn how to slay multiple birds with one stone, we're better off. So if we can meet a social obligation or need the same time that we're meeting an intellectual need, we're better off. If we can add a spiritual dimension, it adds value to our experience. So first of all, there's that opportunity coming up. I would add the importance of our health study. We're launching the first cohort. We gave them two options to connect in. I think the email just went out to 35 people in the first cohort of our health study so that we can get them started down the road. If you've got somebody that wants to get into this first cohort, we can still squeeze them in because the launch will be either Friday the 26th, the day after our Brigham Young University Museum of Art activity, or as late as May 31st. So as long as they can meet one of those days for an orientation, they can still get into the health study. So if you've got people that you love, that you care about, that you would like to help facilitate a greater measure of health and healthfulness, wellness in their life, involving them in the health study is a great idea. Of course, at your request, we'll be able to come and do, as we did for John and Cammie, special meetings for you on any one of our topics. I would also point out the import the value of the academy, the free academy. Now, we've gated that free academy so that they have to give us at least a little bit of information. And that little bit of information has to do with only name, contact information, and who they know at sixth dimension. That's so that as we continue to give information to them, if they sign up, we can place them appropriately under your name. So the Free Academy is a great way to introduce people to sixth dimension and its power. So these are all ways that we can engage the opportunity. I would also add this final piece of the opportunity. And that is our opportunity to help other people. And by that I mean to teach them these principles of goal setting using Goal Wizard, of journaling and by using the High Performance Journal, of the power of achievement in our lives by using appropriate tools, by encouraging and motivating them. Now, at any time, we'll just add one more here to our list. For now, that CPI, Cognitive Preference Index Survey, is still up and accessible so that you can go use it, Seth and Sarah. Go get connected on that CPI, cpi-survey.griffinhillconsulting.com, and go take that survey. You can also invite your friends to take the survey and then invite them to your home for a fun evening eating popcorn and goodies and comparing notes on one another's cognitive preferences by utilizing last Tuesday's coaching session and getting through the information on that coaching session. Well, these are all ways that we can utilize the sixth dimension tools and technologies and opportunities to invite others into our circle of friendship in normal and natural ways. So specifically, here's my invitation to you. Plan on joining us. Bring your children, whether young or old and grown. Bring some children, bring some neighbors and some friends and some family, and come and join with us at the Brigham Young University of Art. And if not there, if it's too distant for you to travel, then find a cultural activity that you can join and then make sure you post. Now, to that end, when we say post, post it on your own Facebook using the hashtag Sixth Dimension Day. Sixth Dimension Day. Hashtag Sixth, S-I-X-T-H, Dimension Day. And by doing so, we'll pull it all in. Also, you can join on the Sixth Dimension Facebook page. There's a Sixth Dimension group. You can also join that group. Wherever you are in the world, participate with us in this cultural activity. Participate in the cultural activity by going to, I keep saying, the Elvis Museum, and John confided in me today that he's not coming to the BYU Museum of Art. He's going south to Las Vegas so that he can go to the Elvis Museum and take pictures, share his experience, and post it. If you write a poem or a composition or a reflection, share it with us there on that Sixth Dimension group on Griffin Hill, or excuse me, Sixth Dimensions Facebook. These are wonderful ways to facilitate greater learning using Bloom's taxonomy while also contributing to the learning of our sixth dimension community. So we invite you all to participate in that way. I'd like you all to please just reflect and write. And then as soon as Annie is ready, I'd like her to share some thoughts with us tonight. Annie, as soon as you're ready.
Okay, hold on, my daughter just walked in the room. All right, sorry.
That's okay, thank you.
Yeah, so, well, I'm excited. I want to be there at Brigham Young University. And
well,
my computer...
Annie, if your health is up to it, we hope you'll come. If it's not up to it, even in your own home, just search the internet, find some great art, write a thought or two, and share your experience with us on Facebook.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, I'm really enjoying this. My computer finally crashed once and for all, so I'm doing everything on my phone.
Okay.
But I'm getting by. nice to have these smartphones.
It is. Well, thank you for sharing that. We love you, and our thoughts and prayers are with you in this difficult time. For the rest of you, I showed up at a religious meeting on Sunday, and someone came up behind me. I turned around, and there was Annie. We showed up for the same religious service on Sunday, and it was delightful. It was wonderful to see you there, Annie. Good. Seth, one thought for you tonight.
I thought it was interesting when I read Think and Grow Rich, he talked about how from a really young age he was trying to teach his son how to be successful and how to think successfully. And so throughout this, I was thinking, how can I teach my kids from a really young age how to not just have knowledge, comprehension, analysis, and all of the steps? And it was interesting when you said, when you talked about it too, you said the same thing. This is something you'll want to teach your children and have them grow up successful and just create the habits at a young age. So I think that was the biggest takeaway I had.
Seth, if you will do that as a father, and that's exactly what we've been talking about from the very beginning here, is as you learn to do this, put the oxygen mask on yourself and then lift, elevate other people, your children specifically, but certainly people all around you, they will have greater measures of success. Seth, I love what you're thinking here. Brilliant. Nicely done.
Thanks.
Okay, John, final thoughts to you tonight.
Say, who?
You.
Oh, me. Well, my thoughts are when I go to enjoy the artwork there Thursday night, I'm going to ponder these steps because I, like you, I was just thinking, well, knowledge, and you try to memorize and you're going to try to understand best you can. I'm going to try to actually comprehend, apply it, analyze it, synthesize it, and evaluate it, and try to go through those and see if I can, and I'll probably quiz you on that to see if I've got those steps correctly. But I want to think a little bit more deeper as I go through whatever we do see.
Well, absolutely brilliant. Thank you very much. Great to be with you. And I look forward to being with everybody on Thursday night. I'll stay and respond to questions if anybody has them. Looks like most people have not. Okay, I'll plan on seeing you Thursday night. Thanks, everyone.